In your pew Bibles, it's page 659. It's Isaiah chapter 3:19. You also follow along here. I'm about to do something new. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Let us say a little prayer, if you don't mind. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to the time now in our service where we learn more about you, Lord, and your love, and we ask your love and guidance and mercy, Lord, as we start to teach, Lord, in your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. I am not as courageous as Pastor Lee is to come down in front of you all, so forgive me. I'm going to stay right here. And I do want to say that last week was wonderful with the graduation service. The kids did a wonderful, wonderful job, and I'm just overwhelmed with what they did. And also, too, I would like to say I know Brother Hal, who has just stepped out for a second, there he is, was to be at annual conference as well as a district lay member, but has chosen to return to us. And I am very, very thankful, Hal, due to the fact that we might not have had communion this Sunday for the 9 o'clock service. So I'm very, very happy. Thank you, Hal. I didn't want to have to explain that one to you all. scripture, Isaiah 43, verse 19, is the one that they are using as their basis for a new thing. It's the title of this year's 235th session of the Virginia Annual Conference. This year, it's being held at the Hampton Coliseum in Hampton, Virginia, and this is the last day. Those from our church that I know of are, of course, Pastor Lee and his wife Kay, Phyllis Thompson, who is our lay member to annual conference, Charlene Hanson Brown, who is a district lay member, Deb Angerman, who is also a district lay member, and as I mentioned, Hal was there for most of it, and I'm glad you're back. Okay, for those of you who do not know what annual conference is and may or may not be new members, an annual conference is in this instance one of three things: a regional body, an organizational unit, and a yearly meeting. The regional body of the annual conference is described by the church's constitution and book of discipline as the basic unit of the church. Sometimes it covers an entire state, or only part of a state, or even parts of two or more states. In our case, it covers most of Virginia, but Virginia is split between Southwest Virginia, which is after Abingdon, Virginia on Route 81, and is part of the Holston Conference. Then we have the Virginia Conference, which is, of course, our conference that we belong to. These conferences rely upon the denomination as a whole for funding. Okay, the Bishop Sharma Lewis, is presiding over this year's annual conference sessions. This is her first year. And these sessions will cover not only worship and fellowship, but also the business of the conference. Ordination of clergy, reports of past and ongoing work, adoption of future goals, programs and budgets, etc. Every 4 years, they will also vote for representatives, clergy and layperson, to go to the jurisdictional conferences and the general conferences. This year, they will have several resolutions to vote on. They have 5 proposed constitutional amendments to vote on and 5 resolutions. This information may be found at www.vaumc.org. A copy of the book reports, is online for anyone to review. Mainly, the amendments relate to equality for both men and women, adding a sentence for clarification on voting for delegates at annual conferences for the General Conference and the Episcopal elections, etc. The resolutions relate to changing some of the wording to the preamble to the Book of Discipline, preparing a resolution process by the bishops when problems come up, support for our military spouses and families due to PTSD, etc., travel to the Holy Land and preparation for same, and finally, damage to the environment caused by oil, gas, and shale formations. These resolutions and amendments will be discussed as thoroughly as time permits. However, sometimes not all will be taken care of at this conference. I have been in contact with Deb Angerman and also have been watching bits and pieces of the live stream they offer. According to Deb, Bishop Lewis is leading us with great strength and encouragement. Her sermon on Friday night asked us to change our focus, clarify our focus, and commit to God's plan. In order to do this, she suggests that we stop looking at our past and start looking at our future. She wants to be encouraged to follow, or wants to encourage us to follow the mission of the United Methodist Church in making disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. We need to view our future as full of possibilities rather than problems. There is, as it should always be, great emphasis this year on our youth. After all, they are the future of our church. The youth want to help us grow, and we need to allow their opinions and not view them as too young to have anything to say. At this conference, we not only gather in the kits for conference, but the Society of St. Andrews has a potato drop. It begins on Friday morning at 7 a.m., and usually they start gathering around 5:30, 6 o'clock, which I am amazed. I don't know that I could have done that when I was there. They had 52,000 pounds of potatoes that were divided into 10-pound bags. These bags of potatoes will be distributed to the Virginia Tidewater food banks. The annual conference offerings this year will go to Cambodia, Brazil, Mozambique, Virginia Long-Term Disaster Recovery, Ethnic Minority Ministries, and Virginia Volunteers and Mission. This year, there is much discussion about the Call General Conference in 2019. Reverend Tom Berlin, a Virginia Conference elder, will be leading this discussion. The commission is called the Commission on a Way Forward, and it has been formed and will discuss why the matter of LGBTQ persons in the church is such an important and challenging matter in the life of the United Methodist Church. As you know, this has been an extremely difficult matter for discussion and may be one that may divide our church. It touches so many of us in so many different ways. Friday night, it was the remembrance services for those who have served our church, clergy and laity. It ends with the communion and is a very, very moving service. Saturday afternoon, they had the retirement service for the pastors who are retiring. 2 of our former pastors have gone through this ceremony only to be brought back into service, not only as a part-time pastor, but full-time pastoring in other parts of the state. My husband, when reviewing this, said, I better suggest who those people were. That was Pastor Ralph Satter and Pastor Dennis Lipke. Afterwards, there is some other business that is done. Usually this is when they start looking into the resolutions and the amendments. Saturday evening is for the ordination of clergy. It, too, is a very moving service. I watched a little bit of it last night in the live stream, and I kept saying, how many elders are they going to be doing? I mean, it seemed like it went on forever. But it's wonderful to watch these young people just go up there and give their life over to God to lead them and direct them in leading other our churches. It, too, is a moving service, and afterwards, they do ask all who wish to answer the call to be a pastor to come forward and make their calling known. Sunday, today, is the day we find out who will be our pastor for the next year. As you know, in the Methodist Church, it can be a little daunting when you are not supposed to find out if your pastor is coming back or not until today. I have an idea, though. We're safe, and you didn't hear it from me. Okay? That's all the hint you'll get. All in all, annual conference is a wonderful time of getting to know your church. You get to meet other people across the conference and build friendships. You learn how other churches work. If you would like to attend one year, you will be welcome to attend. It is your church. However, I will have to say, unless you're an elected member or a pastor or a lay leader, you will not be allowed to vote. But other than that, it's, like I said, it's a wonderful, wonderful conference. One thing I would like to mention, though, is that for the last several years now, they changed over from being Thursday, Friday, Saturday to Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And for about the last 10 years as your lay member to annual conference, I have missed a lot of Father's Days, but my family has entertained it the weekend before or the weekend after, depending on how busy our schedule is. Because of that, like I said, I missed many Father's Day celebrations. Last year, however, we didn't get a chance to have a Father's Day set apart for my father to attend. We were just a little bit too busy. However, the next Sunday, after Greg and I did take my dad out to dinner and gave him some gifts, I only wish I had known it would have been his last. I want to say something about fathers this year, because my father was one of the best in the world. He may have traveled a lot. He may have had a lot of organizations, just like a lot of you do. But he was always there for me, and he is sorely, sorely missed. As many of you know, my mother died when I was very young. My dad, brother, and I were the only immediate family that I had. I like to tell people to remember, though, that raising a child takes a village. My dad had that and more. I guess you could say I had several dads and moms, but my dad was the one I got to come home to, spend time with, and love. I do want you to know that, want you all to know that fathers are a very special breed. Not only are they married to our moms, but some of them may be uncles, brothers, and friends. Not all men have the opportunity to be fathers, but they do have the opportunity to influence others with the love and guidance, especially for those who do not have a father for one reason or another. I have read some advice that some pastors are giving to their parishioners that are fathers. Most of it comes from the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, verses 1 through 4, if you'll bear with me. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. There are also three life lessons that fathers should teach their children. The first is from Proverbs 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. So fear God. Proverbs 4, 1 through 4 teaches another part. Listen, children, to a father's instruction, and be attentive that you may gain insight. For I give you good precepts. Do not forsake my teaching. When I was a son with my father, tender, and my mother's favorite, he taught me and said to me, "Let your heart hold fast my words, keep my commandments, and live." So we are to love God. The third is from Proverbs 3, 1 through 6. My child, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and abundant welfare they will give you. Do not let loyalty and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, so you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not rely on your own insight. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Therefore, we are to obey God. So the three life lessons are: fear God, love God, and obey God. I would like to end with reading this poem. Yes, we're going to get out a little early. It was written by that strange fellow, Anonymous, but I found it to be very poignant for this day. What makes a dad? God took the strength of a mountain, the majesty of a tree, the warmth of a summer sun, the calm of a quiet sea, the generous soul of nature, the comforting arm of night, the wisdom of the ages, the power of the eagle's flight, the joy of a morning in spring, the faith of a mustard seed, the patience of eternity, the depth of a family need. Then God combined all these qualities, and when there was nothing more to add, he knew his masterpiece was complete, and so he called it Dad. Amen.